Well, welcome. Thank you, everybody, for making it on this holiday weekend. I know that we are few, but we are mighty. And we're going to continue the series titled How to Be Brave. And the first series, the first message in the series, if you weren't able to catch it, you can find it over on our website, cccfamily.org. But it talked about, the title of it was Be Anxious for Nothing. And we tackled some big things in that message, and hopefully you guys recall that. We're going to stay in Philippians today and continue to read through the message that that Paul had for the church of Philippians. And the title of today's message is Hold That Thought. And so we're going to keep taking big swings at ourselves and what the Lord has to say about how to be brave in the face of our everyday trials and tribulations. Let's go to the Lord in prayer to start with. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this family. Thank you for this house that we come together to worship and praise and learn. Lord, let's ask that over the next few minutes as we share this time together, that your spirit move among us, that you deliver a message to each of us that you want us to hear, and that you might use me and your word to make a big difference and continue to help us learn how to be brave. We say these things in your son's name, amen. Like I said, we're going to stay in Philippians. We're going to jump around a little bit, so I tried as best I could to put everything on the screen behind me to keep you from getting tennis elbow and flipping around your Bible. But if you want to keep up, Philippians 4 verse 1 is where we're going to start. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. And it's neat that Paul here is saying, he's not saying to stand firm in a brave heart way. He's not saying to stand firm in a Daniel in the lion's den way. He's saying to stand firm in your everyday life. Sometimes all you can do is stand in the last place that God showed you. Just standing sometimes is a sign of strength. Sometimes you don't feel like you're making a lot of progress, and just standing is a victory. After 4:1, he goes on and he tells them how to stand. Like I said last week, we talked about how to brave the waves in verses 6 and 7. And although we can't always control the things that come into our lives, we can always control the atmosphere of our hearts. Then he gets to verse 8. And he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It's interesting that in verse 7, he says the peace of God. And in verse 9, he says, the God of peace. See, I don't just have the God of peace with me. I have the God who gives peace inside me. Not just his resources, but his very presence is with me. And Paul is listing all of the wonderful virtues of God. Paul says, think about. In translated, that says, make this a habit of thought. The passage reads like a catalog of the things that you can think about. You can't have a courageous life without a focused mind. We talked in the last message about how an anxious heart can rob you of peace. And this week we're going to look at how a lack of focus can break your faith. Fear and faith seem to be opposites, but actually they have more in common than you would think. They're both a product of focus. Fear is a result of focus. Faith is a result of focus. Paul says, If your life is full of fear, it may be because you're focused on the wrong things. We talked last week about things. Paul says, whatever things fall into this list, focus here. For many of us, we're focused on what we can't do. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, you can eat of any tree except that one. And how very human that they chose the one that they can't have. I talk a lot about the diet that Steve and I have been on, and judge that diet not by me, but by him. But the tagline of the diet is that it's not what you eat, it's how much and when. And so it gives you freedom. This diet is about giving you freedom to achieve your goals in a very simple way. And most diets have a plan, and some of them have you keeping points and keeping logs. There's a very successful diet out there that my father actually was very successful with, the Atkins diet. And that diet says you can have as much bacon as you want, unlimited supplies, just don't eat the bread, right? And so it gives you this plan of what you can have an unlimited amount of. And that's really what Paul is saying here. He wants to give us some examples of things that we can think about and focus on in an unlimited way. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think about, focus on these things. Faith is the byproduct of correct focus. I think that we need to stop praying for God to increase our faith, because while we're waiting for God to increase our faith, He's waiting for us to improve our focus. I've coached my son and my daughter for like the last decade. I've been coaching sports. I started out coaching my daughter in soccer, then I coached my son in football and baseball. And the foundational lesson for all of the sports came down to this phrase: keep your eye on the ball. Whether it was tennis or soccer or basketball or baseball, keep your eye on the ball. And that's what Paul is saying to us. Paul is saying, he's talking to a church that's going through some complications, the Philippians church. It's having a lot of issues, and there are issues a lot of us as Christians are dealing with as well. Paul says, keep your eye on the ball, or in a spiritual way, keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Him. It's amazing how easy it is when we look at the things that make us afraid, the things that get us into trouble, things that bring us down, things that hold us back, how the simple solution really is eyes on Jesus. It's when you take your eyes off of Jesus, when you let your life break your concentration, when you stop focusing on Him, that you start to sink below the waves, Peter. Paul says, think about, focus on, not just once in a while, but make it a habit of thought, such things, these kinds of things. Now hold that thought. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, very different kind of passage, but I'm going to try and connect them. Here Paul is talking about how we are not waging war like the wars of the world, and how our weapons are not weapons of the world, but they have divine power. This is a very powerful verse. If you're struggling with thoughts that are holding you back, thoughts that are causing you fear, look at this. Corinthians 10, verse 5. We demolish arguments. What arguments? Well, anything that contradicts what God says. When God says you're one thing and you're feeling another thing, demolish that thought. So we demolish thoughts and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I'm going to go back to Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about, reckon on, calculate, focus on such things. If I were to ask you a question today, what is holding you back from being what God has planned for you, from accomplishing the dreams that He has for you, from making the changes in life, in your life, that you want to make and that He wants you to make? Inevitably, if I ask you that question, you would start to list things, people, events, health conditions, financial situations, things. It's really not the things that are holding you back, because there are people that we probably know that are dealing with the same things, but they're doing it with courage and with faith and with the spirit of victory. It's not the thing that's keeping us from it. You can list the same things for two different people. You have to stop, we have to stop making excuses for our apathy. We have to quit making excuses for the broken parts in our lives. It's never the thing that holds you back. It's how you think about the thing that holds you back. Paul says if you think about the right things, you can go through some hard stuff in your life and still be standing. Most of us never stop to think about what we're thinking about. Paul says if you want to live a life that's brave, that's courageous, inspired, you have to think about such things. What things? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely. You have to pick the things that empower your spirit. Pick the things that give you a position of gratitude and think about such things. Look at your neighbor and say, hold that thought. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, look around you. There are all kinds of things that you can praise God for. There are all kinds of reasons for you to remember the faithfulness of God. There are all kinds of things that God has put into your life to speak to your potential. Paul is saying, I want you to learn that when you get a thought of the godliness, of the goodness of God, to hold that thought. When you get a thought that gives you life, hold that thought. When you get the thought, I can do it, when you can get the thought, I can make it, when you get the thought, I'm going to be all right, when you learn how to hold that thought, Paul says, I'm in a prison cell, but I'm not a prisoner of hopelessness. In the midst of, I've learned how to hold out hope in hopeless situations. Now, I know, Paul says, how to hold that thought. But you can't always choose the thoughts that come into your head, right? I get some crazy thoughts. And they come at crazy times. The thoughts that go through my mind when I'm in traffic on 360, the thoughts that go through my mind when I'm parenting, the thoughts that go through my mind when I'm dying to my flesh, the thoughts that go through my mind in prayer time, the thoughts that go through my mind when I'm standing up here, we have got some crazy thoughts, and I know I'm the only one. I'm not convicting anybody out there. Let's jump back to 2 Corinthians 10. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension, so pretension, whatever contradicts the word, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Thanks to Disney, there's a common phrase that I've heard way too many times, let it go, right? Thank you, Elsa, let it go. And I know I'm guilty, and I say it frequently. It's part of my default mental state, let it go. I like to keep peace in my life, and so I say constantly to myself, let it go. I say constantly to my kids, let it go. I say constantly to my wife, let it go. If you're a real movie buff, you know that Elsa isn't the first one to make this famous, that Sean Connery in Indiana Jones said, Indiana, let it go. There's thoughts that have been plagued me for all my life. And just trying to let it go. What thoughts? The thoughts of 2 Corinthians, the tormenting thoughts, the terrorist thoughts. Like I said, thoughts that have been in the back of my mind for as long as I can remember. It's one thing to hold a thought, but it's another thing when a thought holds you. Perhaps what's really holding us back in our lives today are some thoughts that we're thinking, some thoughts that have a hold on us. Maybe it's thoughts of failure or thoughts of commitment, fear of commitment, or thoughts of shame. Paul is saying that there are thoughts that you need to hold on to, Philippians 4:8, but there are other thoughts that will get a hold on you, arguments, pretensions, fears, anxieties, in 2 Corinthians. So we read 2 Corinthians again, and it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we let it go. Wait. Should have marked that spot. I don't know about you, but when I let my thoughts go, they don't always leave. And sometimes when I successfully let my thoughts go, they go grab five friends and a bat, and they come back to me. And all our lives, we've been taught to let it go. I know I've said it. It's a very convicting thing for me. Paul says, let's do something else. Instead of letting it go, take it captive. Treat the thoughts that don't come from God like prisoners of war. Take them captive. You have to interrogate your imagination. Did you know that you can have a terroristic thought? A thought that's been dispatched to destroy you? A thought that's sole job is to tear you down. I've never been in an actual interrogation, but I can tell you if the title of the television show says Law and Order, we watch it in our household, and so I feel like I'm an expert. And I know that when they go after the bad guy, and they've dealt with plenty of terrorists in the 17 series and 83 years, that somewhere after the first commercial break, but before the second commercial break, they'll have them in the station, and inevitably, they ask a question of them. Where did you come from? That's the same question that we need to ask some of our thoughts. Where did you come from? Paul gave me a list in Philippians 4:8 of such things. And you don't seem to be on it. You're looking kind of suspicious, thought. Think about it like this. Your purpose, your vision, your faith is a plane. And you need to set up TSA in your mind. You need to use Philippians 4:8 as your detector. We need to be telling some of our thoughts to take off their shoes, empty their pockets, and go through the detector. Because if we don't and they make it through, they're going to get on that plane, they're going to hijack it, and they're going to crash it. Tell your neighbor to hold that thought. It's not just the good thoughts that we need to hold on to. See, we have those good thoughts in Philippians 4:8, the such things that we need to hold on to. But we have the bad thoughts in 2 Corinthians. Paul says we need to hold those too. We have to hold on to them, because if we don't hold on to them, they're going to hold on to us. So fear comes, anxiety comes, doubt comes. I'm letting it go, I'm letting it go, I'm letting it go. But it's not going. What we need to realize is we have authority over those thoughts. How do I know that? Because the Word of God tells me to take them captive. And I can't take something captive unless I have authority. The Word of God has given me that authority. Where did you come from, and where are you going? We can let our thoughts lead us into destruction, or we can let our thoughts lead us into glory. Lucas, come here. Come here. Turn. All right, start walking. What's wrong in this picture, right? I'm bigger than he is. In this relationship, I have the authority in this relationship. There's no reason why he should be leading me around the stage, right? What I need to do is I need to take hold of the promises of God. I need to take hold of my authority in the Word of God. And I need to say, in this relationship, I'm bigger. I'm in charge of this. I'm the one that's making the decision where I'm going to spend my mind and my time. We've got to hold that thought. Here comes fear. Here comes anxiety. I take you captive. My TSA has found you out. I know where you come from. You're not from God. I want to know who sent you and why. I recently read a book titled The War of Art, not The Art of War by Sun Tzu, but this is The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And this book was written to creative people that are struggling with, like, writer's block or those kinds of things. And Stephen Pressfield comes up, and the whole theory of this book is that there is resistance to what you're trying to do, right? There's a resistance there. Some people call it writer's block. You know, I call it procrastination. And what Mr. Pressfield says is that you look at your life and where, find that spot in your life where the greatest resistance is, whether that's personal, internal resistance, if it's external resistance. And when you can identify that spot in your life that has the greatest resistance, you've just found your life's purpose. Because everything comes against you to do what you are truly meant to do. And I can relate to that. I know that the devil uses my mind to keep me from doing things. He sends me terroristic thoughts. Me standing up here in front of you this morning, you have no idea the battle that goes through my mind. The thoughts of unworthiness, the thoughts of living a life that has sin in it, the thoughts of not having the education that I feel. But when I look at it in this way, I say, thank you, thoughts. You've just tipped me off to your plan. You're trying to keep me from making a difference in the kingdom. So I'm going to go sit you in a cell over here and you can watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold on to the thoughts that I need. We're going to jump over to Joshua. To set the stage a little bit, Joshua is standing on the edge of the promised land. 3 million Israelites looking to him to lead them. And God meets with him to give him a pep talk. And he starts talking about courage in the face of your enemies and opposition. And he says in Joshua 1, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." How do I do that? Look at verse 8. "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it." Hold that thought. Don't just think about it once a week. Meditate on it. Marinate in it. When? Day and night. Hold that thought. Day and night. Crying yourself to sleep? Hold that thought of joy. Feeling like a failure? Hold that thought of victory. It finishes so that you can be careful to do everything written in it. Paul said, think about such things in verse 8, but he also said in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and that the God of peace will be with you. Is it a coincidence that in Joshua 1:9, it says, the Lord your God will be with you? See, Paul is saying in Philippians that not only is God with us, like it says in Joshua, but he is in us. He has sent his spirit to dwell in us. If God is for me, who can be against me? Whom shall I fear? Hold that thought. He's with me. He's for me. He's in me. Hold that thought. I'm free. Hold that thought. I'm healed. Hold that thought. I'm delivered. Hold that thought. He has crowned me with love and compassion. Hold that thought. Steve and Vicky, will you guys come up here for a second? This is audience participation week. Okay, so as we're up here, Vicky is Philippians 4:8, right? Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure. All right, so Steve, I want you to embrace your wife and keep in mind we're streaming live. So, but give her both arms. There you go. So Steve has embraced Philippians 4:8. He is holding that thought. Steve Box, come here. Steve, on the way up here, I want you to, we all love Steve, and so this is just a demonstration, but Steve is 2 Corinthians. Come here. Whatever is argumentative, pretensions, fears, anxieties, right? So why in the world would Steve let go and come over here? Why would he do that? Even though they look like they're enjoying it, there is no reason. Thank you, guys. There is no reason for you to let go of what God tells us in Philippians 4:8. And he's telling Joshua that you can have the promised land if you can hold it. God is saying you can have it if you can hold it. You need peace? You can have it if you can hold it. You need restoration? You can have it if you can hold it. You need to have a clear mind? You can have it if you can hold it. Hold that thought.